You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, we talk with Wisconsin's new poet laureate about finding poetry that speaks to you. First, the Human Rights Campaign is an organization that advocates for civil rights for the LGBTQ community. And every year, they rank all 50 states on how well their laws do or don't protect LGBTQ individuals. The group recently released its fifth annual report, known as the State Equality Index. And our next guest says advocates in Wisconsin have won some basic protections, but there's still work to do. Catherine Oakley is State Legislative Director and Senior Counsel for Human Rights Campaign. Catherine, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
People may think now that the Supreme Court has legalized gay marriage that the LGBTQ fight is over. What are the areas of the law that advocates are still working to change?
Oh, many different things. Marriage equality has been a wonderful thing. We're very grateful for it, and truly it is only the beginning of working toward full LGBTQ equality in many states across the country, including in Wisconsin. You mentioned the State Equality Index, which we recently released, and we had four categories that states could fall into based on their laws and policies. Those four were working toward innovative equality, which was sort of the top category, then solidifying equality for states that had a lot of the protections that we assess. Below that is building equality, and that's where Wisconsin fell, just above high priority to achieve basic equality, where states had not only no non-discrimination protections, but also in some cases anti-LGBTQ laws on the books.
So looking at those four categories and you know, the spectrum that they represent in laws that are there to protect LGBTQ individuals, where does Wisconsin fit kind of number-wise in that scale?
So Wisconsin fits into this building equality, which there are two states that are in that section, and there are 28 states that are in that lowest rated category beneath. So Wisconsin's kind of in the middle, top middle of the pack, with certainly states that have done less, but also lots of states that have done more. So there's lots of room to improve for Wisconsin.
So what are some of the things that Wisconsin has put in place that puts them ahead of some other states?
Well, you know, one thing that Wisconsin does have are non-discrimination laws that in employment, housing, places of public accommodation, education, adoption, and foster care. And those are really important protections, but unfortunately, they're only extended to people who are on the basis of sexual orientation, so lesbian, gay, bisexual folks. They do not explicitly include gender identity. So that means that transgender folks do not have those protections. And so I think that is an absolutely glaring omission, that without that, you know, Wisconsin's just not going to be able to move up into those, into the categories of states that are really working on innovative things, because Wisconsin really has to nail down those explicit protections before it can get into that category.
Are there other issues on which Wisconsin would need to advance in order to make it into those other categories?
Yeah, you know, we look at all different kinds of laws. We look at parenting laws. I mentioned non-discrimination laws. We look at hate crimes and criminal justice laws. Religious refusal laws, those are bad ones, which happily Wisconsin does not have. We have laws that relate to youth, including bullying laws. That's an area that Wisconsin certainly has some place to grow. And then also health and safety laws, you know, ensuring that, for example, transgender people have adequate access to gender-affirming care, you know, medically necessary care that is just too often not available to transgender people. So lots of room to grow in all of these categories, but particularly in, as I said, non-discrimination laws, youth laws, and health and safety laws.
We're talking with Catherine Oakley right now. She's State Legislative Director and Senior Counsel for Human Rights Campaign. And we're talking about that group's State Equality Index. It's the fifth annual report that they've released. And it looks at legal protections in place in different states for LGBTQ residents. And Catherine, what kind of trends are you seeing? You do this report every year. You're looking at each state individually, but I'm guessing there are also national trends that become apparent as you're crunching the numbers. What are you seeing this year?
Yeah, there absolutely are national trends. And, you know, one of the things that actually was really exciting about this report is that we had more states move up into that top category, the working toward innovative equality category, than we've ever had states move before. So we are really seeing positive momentum at the state level, which I think is wonderful news. One example of state that we saw move forward last year, which was really great, was in New Hampshire. We saw, a non-discrimination law that had protected on the basis of sexual orientation in the same way that Wisconsin's law currently does. New Hampshire updated theirs to include gender identity last year, and actually already in 2019, New York did the same. They had some regulations in place, which they have now replaced with explicit state law extending those protections to the transgender community. So, you know, that's one of the great trends that we are seeing is that, you know, I think in the last several years, there's been a lot of focus on anti-LGBTQ legislation, which we have unfortunately continued to see introduced and in some cases passed around the country. But I think really the story of the SEI this year is focusing on how many states are continuing to improve, that there's a lot of momentum at the state level to move forward on matters of equality.
It seems that one of the reasons why you need to look at what is in place in different states is because there doesn't seem to be a comprehensive approach on the federal level that would, if it was in place, overrule whatever the states had. Tell us about any efforts to pass or to at least introduce federal equality legislation.
Yes, that is a fantastic point. So currently, there are no explicit comprehensive civil rights protections for LGBTQ people at the federal level. The civil rights protections that we have do not explicitly include protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. And unfortunately, what that means is that in 30 states that don't have these non-discrimination laws at the state level, LGBTQ people remain at risk of being fired, evicted, or denied services because of who they are. So for that reason, my organization and our allies are working on a really critical piece of civil rights legislation called the Equality Act, which is a historic bill that would provide those consistent and explicit non-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people across key areas of life. So those include employment, housing, credit, education, public spaces and services, federally funded programs, and jury service. And we're very excited about that bill's prospects with a much more pro-equality Congress. And we also have, I believe, 150 major employers who have signed on to our Business Coalition for the Equality Act. So that's really great news. We have lots of wonderful support.
What are the key elements of that that would change in states that do not have or don't have protections or actually have things that are detrimental to LGBTQ people?
Yeah, I mean, what it would mean is that for an LGBTQ person, when you cross state lines, you don't have to worry about your rights going away. Now, because when we look at the map, because these protections are not explicit at the federal level, in some cases, depending on circumstances, people will have causes of action at the federal level if they do experience discrimination on the basis of their sexual orientation, gender identity. But it's very fact-specific. And it is not necessarily consistent. So we really need to have those explicit protections in place to make sure that people know that those rights travel with them. You know, when they do cross state lines, if they cross into a state that doesn't have statewide protections, that the federal government will make sure that their civil rights are protected.
It seems like it's an even more complicated and complex landscape, because I know that there are municipalities that will put protections in place that are not in place at the state level. How do all those different layers of government and what they decide they want to put in place work together or work against each other?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're absolutely right that we have seen major cities across the country, as well as medium and very small cities. I believe that the smallest city to have passed a non-discrimination ordinance has something like 300 or 400 residents. So we've seen this happen in cities across the country where, you know, the cities are looking to their state governments. Their state governments have not taken action on matters of equality, and so the cities take that matter into their own hands. or in states where there are some good laws or even great laws at the state level, that you see cities who are saying, well, you know, those values are our values, and we want to make sure that people see that we also don't tolerate discrimination where we are. And it's really interesting. I mentioned that we had a very large coalition of businesses who support the Equality Act. Well, the reason that we have businesses who support the Equality Act is, first of all, these businesses have their own non-discrimination policies for their employees, but they also know that equality is good for business. And that's something that cities have recognized as well, that if they have really solid non-discrimination protections on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, that it's good for business. People look at that kind of thing as an indicator of whether or not that city is a place that they want to live and work. So we definitely have seen cities embrace non-discrimination protections. And as I said, we're continuing to see movement at the state level. So we're hopeful that that momentum at the state level will continue. We're working to make sure it continues. And we're also working to nail some of those protections down at the federal level as well.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Catherine Oakley, State Legislative Director and Senior Counsel for Human Rights Campaign. That's an organization that advocates for LGBTQ civil rights. She was with us to talk about how Wisconsin's civil rights protections for the LGBTQ community stacks up in the group's annual State Equality Index. And you can see that report in its entirety by going to WPR.org/centraltime.